The heavens smile upon you, dear listener. Either by choice or chance, you have arrived at Idiots Disgusting Universe, Music Review, Bonus Podcast Zone. Cast aside your fickle life of indecision and let the IDTU tell you what they think. Welcome to Hit or Shit.
Dude, your SCP was the best.
Yours
was the best. I got new levels of it listening to it out of all three of them. Like, yeah.
Thanks, yep. Man.
I mean, by a long shot.
Well, I mean, I was
PP
honest.
Cocaine,
with...
because I didn't really get the whole thing that their peepees were filling with cocaine
yeah.
when they got around her.
Yeah, I think I stumbled over the scientific
and
name for cocaine.
It didn't quite totally register.
It didn't
I'm
land.
Like, oh, that's a new thing,
yeah.
even though he stole a lot of the jargon.
Right.
Like, you stole it very expertly.
Thank you.
It sounds almost all of it makes sense.
Yeah. I was proud, because I did look for a while for a matching one that was about, like, a woman, kind of.
Every once in a while, it gets a little bit too, like, okay, why is it so dangerous, you know? I felt like the other person is maybe more dangerous than PP cocaine was, or something, because it felt like, I don't know, in that way.
Well, the danger part of it, that was, I think, you know, all mostly my doing, because I wanted to make, you know...
I wasn't sure about, like, the huge events thing. That was the part about the... If I went through and there was all this, like, cleanup,
yeah.
all these cleanup protocol for
mm-hmm.
her,
yeah,
but
yeah.
you never went into, like, what would happen...
What was being cleaned up.
Why that was going on, because later on you say that she, like, pretty much she's fine being in her cell as
right.
long as she gets to go to TikTok headquarters and do her thing.
Right.
So I was, like, going, what's the story of, like...
What's an event?
What are these cleanups?
Yeah.
yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I felt like that maybe was, like, lifted without a lot of, like, you know.
Yeah. No, very astute.
Covering of your butt, that part kind of needs to go or be explained.
Right.
But, like, it really was, like, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It was weird how you and Patrick had very similar characters. I don't know. I mean, they were very different. It was completely different.
We both had, like, cartoon.
You both had cartoon dogs.
Yeah.
You know.
But his was not a cartoon. His was like a...
No, his was a frightening thing.
Yeah.
But it was like a Disney creation. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just strange.
Yeah.
Just the weird similarities. Say hi, Christy.
Hi.
Yay. Yay. she probably hates it when I do that.
Yeah, you don't do it very often, though.
No.
And it's fun for me. So
yeah.
It's good.
It is fun.
I think it's good.
It's good. It's what's going on. Laundry time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun to do. It made me realize, you know, just writing in general, that kind of thinking is, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, it's hard.
It's very hard.
Right.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
But there's something about... the pressure of needing to get it out now because it's about, you know,
right.
that's almost like the only way that I'll
do it.
I won't be like too editing, you know, I'll be over thin and then I'll get like three lines.
See,
and...
you would be one of those creative types that would love going to the right kind of creative writing class where they would do like on the spot writing exercises and ask, you know, do like interesting things like that.
Oh,
just
yeah.
to get you like,
oh, I
that
have
sort of stuff.
I've taken some creative writing and I loved them. Absolutely.
Yeah. They're totally not helpful in any way for actually like creative writing. You
no,
know,
I think they
but
can
they're,
be.
They're really cool, like to get your brain going.
I
in,
definitely
like, this creative way.
I definitely think those exercises are helpful.
Well, for
I don't
what?
Know.
Helpful for what?
Just getting the juices flowing. You know, being able to think on your feet, and I don't know, like while like the whole idea of like write for 30 seconds or however, and your pen can't stop moving.
I don't know. I think that it trains a lot of apes to think that they're making art when they're just squiggly lines and they're feeling good about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, I think a lot of people, I remember doing those exercises, and most people are like, it's terrible. Don't make me read it, you know, to the class. Like, don't. They know. They're like, this is what came out of my poopy brain when I've just given 30 seconds for, you know.
Right. And then they read it and it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Or it's like, oh, dude, it's kind of cool.
It's like, you know, those classes where people go and they pay $70 to drink wine and paint a picture of a sunset.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that for writing.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. I mean, like, you can get better as a painter and you enjoy delicious wine.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, you become like a more creative person and you mm-hmm. do learn how to tap into things and all that sort of stuff. And I think for like, but even for you, like, it would not really benefit your actual writing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that nothing really benefits your writing once you get to a certain point of expression. I mean, you have a fine vocabulary. I've never really seen like your writing and what that looks like. I don't know how much you're like on the spot editing that sort of thing, or like, I was kind of a semi autonomous writing there. So I mean, like, I've never read anything that was your actually like serious, like even in an essay form or whatever.
Right.
But I mean, like, once you have a certain level of expression, it's all about like what you're expressing.
Yes.
And the story that you're telling or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you can't make people come up with good stories. You can't turn somebody into a storyteller.
No.
Like, and creative writing classes is like, okay, here's an exercise to make your bullshit seem interesting.
Right.
Because it's a literary trick, or it's, you know, put it all in the second person and see how that goes, or use only present verbs and see how that goes.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a way to fucking put a brand new paint job on your 76 Nova.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh.
It's not going to go any faster.
You didn't have a very... You don't like creative writing, huh?
Oh, I do it. I mean, I do creative writing.
Yeah, but you don't like the like, academic, like... you know, there's creative writing and writing creatively, but then, like, creative writing as an academic pursuit, like the classes
and
everything.
I don't think the workshop thing is very... Maybe the feedback part of the workshop... I've had writing classes where you just fuck off and you go write, and then you bring it back. Everybody reads what it is that you wrote, and then they give you feedback on what you wrote.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you may show up and like read some essays every week or whatever and talk about other people's writing for those other classes. And then most of the class is just a fucking feedback session where you like, we're going to talk about so-and-so, these three students' stuff, this next class, and we're going to take turns, and then we'll talk about everybody's stuff and go around and give everybody feedback.
Right.
And depending on the group, like, that can be beneficial.
Sure. And depending on the teacher, I would say.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Because, I mean, I think the typical creative writing teacher is probably, you know, just phoning it in or something, and just like, you know, everyone gets an A, just do this many words and have fun or whatever.
They were creepy, dude. I mean, most of them, they are totally airheaded, or they were like trying to sleep with half the class, or just that one fucking dude, Dagoberto Gil, but he was fucking awesome. He was like this Mexican Irish dude that wrote the book The Magic of the Blood, and he was a cool guy. I mean, like, I actually became friends with him.
Nice.
And that was one of the classes that I actually got a lot of the feedback. But it was also one of the classes that, like, a lot of the people in the class would cried at times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because he would laugh. Like, Dagoberto would, like, laugh and tell him it was bad.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of teacher you need in one of these classes.
Right.
Because it grounds it in rules and stuff. Like, both times I had creative writing at PCC, it was the same kind of thing where they were both, like... Oh, you came here because you thought you were going to have fun because you could write whatever you want.
Right.
But no, that your shit has to be interesting.
Right.
You know, no one wants to read about your boring day. You know, find something good to write about, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
be tough.
And be,
I mean, he would seriously say, like, most of you guys are hobbyists and you're always going to be hobbyists.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I'm barely not a hobbyist. He's like, out of your stuff, he's like, there maybe you're like one... maybe two of you that are like good enough that you should continue thinking about doing it as a living.
And that's probably more intensive of a statement in your situation, because you were an English major, right? And this was probably, you know, it's in a class of aspiring writers, rather than my situation was more like a prerequisite a bunch of people took, you know, for like early.
Right. This was a 4,000 level class. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
These are people that are all like going into, you know, he was just kind of a pretty honest dude, you know, as far as like what he thought on things, you know?
Yeah.
So,
man, those kind of teachers, they're so valuable. Cause when I really think about it, I would attribute most of my education to like five teachers over the course of it.
It's weird though, because like he simultaneously taught me to be a better writer, and he also taught me that I should probably go find a fucking job and make money, figuring out how I'm going to make money in life.
Yeah.
Because you can't count on the fucking bullshit.
Right. He's real with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's bullshit, and you're probably, even if you're fucking awesome and you're connected and all that shit, it still can fucking fall all apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? No problem.
Yeah.
Or never happen, or just, even if it does happen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like in the Kanye interview, he's talking about, like, I look at my spreadsheet at the end of the year, and I always lose money in music. It's always like negative $4 million for my music portion of my empire, and then the rest of it is where I make all my money.
Damn.
He's like, it's just like, you know, I have to do it, but like it's not for financial reasons. Because he's mostly just fucking trying to get like artist contracts to change.
Right. I see what you're saying. No, I get it though, because that's probably why he feels so free with it too, is because he doesn't have to worry about making money with it.
Right.
He's selling shoes.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. No, that's the way you get out of the hole, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Kanye would have probably for sure, but like, yeah. I mean, there are like more and more stories are coming out, you know, because he's raising such a huge fuss, and like, so everyone that's like, you know, I've had 26 million streams or whatever on my song, and I've made $0.
Right.
Because I'm still paying back my initial advance on my record.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
No, it's wild. I can't imagine.
Like, I don't really feel sorry for that, because like, you got the money already.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What kind of advance are we talking about?
Well, I mean, if it's enough that it covers the cost of that many streams, you know what I'm saying? That you're not starting to make residual, like, you probably got a pretty good advance that you should have realized that, like, okay, they gave me $100,000 and I have made, like, $12,000 a year for the last, like, 5 years as a musician. Mm-hmm. So I should take this $100,000 and plan on living on it for the next, like, 6 or 7 years.
Right.
Because I'm not going to be making any money from... I'm just going to be working and continuing as a musician, and I'm going to be paying back all of this money.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I'm going to be paying all this money back, I'm going to have to keep this money around in order to, like, live off of this money.
Right. But the thing with... I mean, yeah, that's totally true. But those kinds of advances are so rare now. You know? It's so rare. That's like top tier artist. And at that point, they're, you know, making enough money. Or
now they just pretty much make you sign away all of your rights, and then they just it out on the market. And if it happens to take off, then they're like, cool, we're going to suck you dry.
Right.
And if it doesn't, then they're like, you can fuck yourself.
Yeah. You're listening to Idiots Discuss the Universe.
When you're depressed, where do you want to go? Nowhere. When you're depressed, who do you want to see? No one. Depression hurts in so many ways. Sadness, loss of interest, anxiety.
Idiots Discuss the Universe can help. IDTU is available through prescription and treats many forms of depression. but IDTU is not for everyone.
Tell your Dr. Ryan Bay, if depression worsens or if you're having thoughts of suicide, IDTU is now approved for listeners under 18. People without control glaucoma should not take IDTU. Combining IDTU with other painkillers such as Tylenol or blood thinners could increase bleeding. Severe liver problems, some fail, were reported. Signs include yellowing of skin and eyes. Let your doctor know if you are pregnant or nursing. Talk to your doctor about other medications you are taking. Excessive drooling and muscle pain could be signs of a life-threatening condition. Dizziness or fainting may occur upon standing. Side effects include confusion, nausea, dry mouth, and constipation.
Depression can hurt. IDTU can help. Find out more on iTunes, Spotify, or any podcast portal.
Yeah, that's why I got to get into the fucking rock and roll music business, and this is our first step in that, and my first step in this. You've been chipping away at the proverbial block for a long time, But this is my first step at the music business, and it's a little show that we like to call
Hit or Shit.
And what do we do in Hit or Shit, Sven? Well, folks,
we listen to brand new tunes, hot off the charts. And we decide whether or not they're worthy of your time and your ears.
And it's actually exciting. Not that you would know by the way that Spenny describes it, but it's actually an exciting time. And we enjoy doing that.
We come
out of our codeine coma and enjoy the newest beats.
Uh-huh.
And we usually have some keen insight. I would say I could call it some keen insight.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I would say so.
Yeah.
We have a unique perspective and take. And the combination of the two of us make it so
the young know everything and the old know nothing.
Right, exactly.
It's a perfect combo.
It is the perfect combo, right. Yes.
And I have no shame, so I'm so willing to say I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
The noises scare me.
No, but it's the noises, yeah. But it's good because it can disarm a, you know, like a trend sort of. In that you're removed from it, and so you can just be like, they're just doing the thing that I saw already. It's just different.
Right.
In a way that, you know, don't have the perspective, you know, if you haven't
really
seen
it before.
It doesn't
really crap on it, but it kind of craps on it.
It's not crapping on it. It's just total, like, I'm just not even, you know, not even moved by it. You know, it's just the general.
Keeping it on that moderation pile.
Yeah.
That moderately interesting.
Which is almost more insulting, you know, in some, because it's cool to be.
It's more of a compliment to really hate the new thing than to be
right.
Like, oh, the new thing's not really new.
Right. It just doesn't make me feel anything.
Thanks
at
for
all.
Playing. What's coming next?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
speaking of what's coming next, you got to get your eye on anything good for us?
Oh, well, there is some stuff. Uh-huh. There is some stuff. So we've got.
What direction are you feeling like going in? Like something that we've never heard before? Something more in the trap hop sort of world?
I've been leaning towards trap hop. I've got the new releases on Spotify here, and so I see a new Ariana Grande.
Mm.
I see a new yes. I see a new Ty Dolla $ign.
Mm.
I see new Fever 333.
That means nothing to me.
That's like, they're like Rage Against the Machine 2.0.
Mm.
Except not 2.0. What am I saying? They're just like Rage Against the Machine. They're trying to do it now. And they're very political and everything. And it's cool. But it's not, you know.
Uh-huh. What else we got?
We got Grandson, who is kind of, you know, like millennial. Young millennial sort of rock meets trap type shit.
Okay.
We got Major Lazer.
Mm.
We got Marshmello. We got Saweetie. Saweetie? Yeah.
That's all one thing. Major Lazer, Marshmello, and
Oh
Sweetie.
No, sorry. Those are all different songs.
What's Major Lazer doing? I like those guys.
Yeah, they've got a new album, it looks like, called Music is the Weapon.
Well, that sounds a lot like the titles of their other. Hmm. Click on that one, will you?
Yeah,
will
yeah.
You click on that one.
So I'm here on it now, and boy, are there a lot of features on here. Oh, I see, because Diplo is credited on every song because he's like part of Major Lazer, right? Mm,
perhaps.
But yeah, we've got 12 songs, 34 minutes long, just released. We've got people on this album like French Montana. Khalid. Ooh, Khalid's on a song.
Oh.
Nicki Minaj. Marcus Mumford. Wow. J Balvin. Paloma. I don't know who that is. Skip Marley. And he's one of the Marleys.
Yeah. Never-ending supply of Marley relatives that show up at things.
Right, they're around.
What's the big song off of there?
Looks like the big, big one is Que Calor with J Balvin and El Alfa.
That means it's hot.
That means it's hot.
It's hot.
How
Spanish.
Hot? Yes.
Que Calor.
Que Calor. Like how hot it is right now, kind of.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm kind of up for Major Lazer. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
we could
maybe do anything other than I don't know. Ty Dolla Sign's fine. I'm not done.
Well, that one is funny because Ty Dolla Sign is an artist who is always like featured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his parts on the features, like in some of those Kanye songs,
are usually the best part of the song.
Yeah,
right out there.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you're always like, wow, you know.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. It's been kind of like a running, you know, I don't know, joke in the industry or something, where it's like, yeah, they're all featuring Ty Dolla Sign, but the album is called Featuring Ty Dolla Sign, so it's like. It's like he knows. It's like, oh, it was part of the plan the whole time.
Oh, he's got to know.
And it's 25 songs. 25, dude.
No, the album I've got by him is like 25 songs, too.
Holy shit. And it's everyone on this shit. Kid Cudi, Post Malone, Anderson .Paak, Kanye West, Thundercat, Quavo, Nicki Minaj, Big Sean, fucking Future, Young Thug,
wow.
Yeah, Skrillex, Kanye again. Yeah, and then a bunch of other people. But it's that's like the whole, that's like the industry, you know?
That's definitely an album that I want to check out now, I guess. I mean, but,
yeah, but I'm more excited about, Major Lazer.
Okay. Okay. That, I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So let's do, Que Calor.
Que Calor. All right, let's do it.
A la perfección, por mi patria, por mi nación, ninguna discriminación, aquí no hay raza ni religión, bailalo por obligación.
Qué calor.
Los bikinis te quedan mejor. Tú eres mi amor, mol, mol, mol. Cada vez que veo ese booty yo me quedo loco. Tú le das trabajo, mami, con mucho sacoco. Como tú lo mueves en el mundo, lo mueves poco. Dale, dale, baila lo loco. Como tú lo mueves en el mundo, lo mueves poco. Dale, dale, baila lo loco. Como tú lo mueves en el mundo, lo mueves poco.
Calentamiento global. Anda suelto el animal. Mano arriba el que es real.
Qué calor, qué calor, en la discoteca, qué calor, y acá, para la muñeca, por favor, qué calor, en la discoteca, qué calor, y acá, para la muñeca, por favor.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a soft spot in my heart for that fucking whatever that shit is. I've got a soft spot in my heart for it for some reason. I don't know
you
why.
Do, huh?
I don't know why.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I did for the most part too.
Yeah, I don't particularly want to ever hear it again, but I enjoyed it.
Well, I mean, like, if I hear it again, I want to be on like Molly in Colombia.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Then I'm like, yeah, keep playing it, man. You know? But that's what it's for.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that...
Dancing.
And full disclosure, everybody, we watched the video with it as well. And I think the video really helped it, like, kind of have a D'Antwoord sort of, like, feel? Because at a time like this, the video would just be so ridiculous that you'd be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, like, I bet you that the dudes are in this and they're like, seriously, we're doing this? And like, oh, no, don't worry. It'll be fine when we get it all cut together. Like, it's going to look great.
It'll look,
you know what I'm saying?
So good.
I know it seems ridiculous now, but then they're like, saw it later, like, oh, motherfucker, it's ridiculous.
It's
like,
yeah. It's as ridiculous as it
like,
seemed.
Like, if you ever, like, are out there and they're going to film a video of you, Spenny, and they're like, here is a cow suit that we want you to wear.
Yeah.
Tell them no. Like, I'm not going to wear a cow
what
suit.
What if they're like, but you're the only one who could pull this off. You're really the only person we could conceive of doing it.
That may be true, but that doesn't mean that I should do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just very, it was very interesting in that sort of sense. And I'm sure that, like, if you go to Spain right now and it wasn't totally locked down from Corona and all of those great clubs were fucking bumping or are bumping this song like crazy.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. This is huge international
club
dance song.
Banger.
Oh, God. Damn. Yeah. This is a huge, it's going to be a huge tune.
Oh, that, it is. That, it is already. It's already like 200 million.
Oh, see, there you go.
It was probably the single, but.
200 million on YouTube?
Oh, no, on Spotify.
Wow.
And then that video, let me go back to it. It was already millions, I think. I don't know, though. Let's see.
How long has it been out? Not terribly long, you said.
Let's see. Major Lazer. Qué calor. No, this came out a while. What? This came out a while ago. Okay. Okay, so this song...
It's an old song.
It's an older song, dude. It came out in 2019 on September 11th.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
But they included it on this album.
Oh.
They do that now.
Why it's got so many listens.
Yeah.
Well, we got tricked.
We got tricked.
Good on them. They tricked us.
They did it. Those fucking.
So
but
it's
see,
not new.
That's the thing. Okay, I think we gotta let's not do it on play count anymore. Most popular.
No, this. Yeah.
Let's pick like second most popular, third most popular.
That's true. That gets into other that opens up other troubles.
What?
Though.
Why? What?
If you start picking the second and third most popular, like I mean, other than maybe just this album, that would be the good thing to do, but like. Other albums, like, I think it's a good plan to go with the most popular.
Yeah.
You know, because that is a good indicator.
Yeah.
But
sometimes, not always, because with the Spotify metrics, it usually only means it came out first, you know?
Right.
It just had more time, and then plus it gets the boost of all the plays when the album comes out.
But it came out first usually because it's a single. Singles don't usually come out a year and a half before the rest of the album, Major Lazer.
Yeah. No, they...
So thank you very much, you fucks.
They take their time.
Something.
Sure.
Something. So, yeah. This actually was enjoyed by people before COVID.
It was.
This is the last memories of people that were dancing and having a good time in their life. They were listening to this one.
Crazy.
Qué calor.
Qué calor.
But, I thought it was, I thought Colombian Eminem guy was good. And
J Balvin.
Cow suit guy was fun. And then, of course, Major Lazer was fun.
Well,
I think cow suit guy is Major Lazer.
That's Diplo, yeah.
Oh, Diplo.
It's
and then
Diplo
the,
and the other guy, that guy in the green suit.
The black guy.
No, the black guy is El Alfa.
In Major Lazer, though.
No. He's another featured artist on here. Major Lazer is instrumental.
Diplo.
Yeah, it's just Diplo and that other guy.
I thought there were more than two guys in there. Who's the black guy with the braids?
I thought he was the one rapping, right?
No.
Oh. Then that's the third guy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought there were three or four people in Major Lazer. Maybe not.
No, there's three, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever heard Tom York's doing the remixes of Major Lazer songs?
No. Is it like, what?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Tom York can take this and turn it into like a really sad, like, really sad song.
Oh, God.
Que calor.
Yeah. Que calor.
Icebergs melting. Que calor. It's so hot. If it gets any hotter in here, we're going to have to, like, issue some carbon credits.
Yeah. You know, Summer, this is going to be a big point for her.
What?
Some Radiohead came on the other night, and she was like, his voice is so annoying. He's just always saying, like, the same syllable. It's always like, no matter what word he says.
Oh.
And I was like,
oh,
whoa.
You shut your whore mouth. You shut your goddamn whore mouth.
No. I was like, I just laughed at it. I thought it was funny. But because
that's wildly off base. But
now, like, I hear it kind of a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit. I'm like, oh, that's more like, that's sad for you that, you know, you're never going to get to enjoy this music. Cause I mean, it's like definitely some of the best shit, even though it is, you know,
sad.
It's sad for sure.
No, his voice is probably not for everybody for sure, but it is a super high quality,
well-trained,
just top-notch voice. It's like a Robert Plant. I mean, there are people that really don't like Robert Plant's voice, but you can't say that Robert Plant's voice is not like a well-trained, good, technically great voice.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it can go all over the place, and it's unique, you know?
Right. Right.
Instantly recognizable.
That's the thing about it.
Yeah. And both of those dudes spawned like copycats.
Sure.
You know, sure. Like whole genres of people just trying to rip them off.
As much as you hate it, other people love it.
Yeah. But she doesn't know.
She didn't care enough to hate it.
Right. She was just like making observation. Yeah. I was this
funny.
Is fucking
no,
Tom
I would have,
York.
I'm sure I would have laughed.
Yeah.
And then I went, punched her.
Oh, boy.
No.
Man. Okay. No. So this coming up, though. This coming up, just I think we should maybe take a farewell. Oh, wait, did we rate the song?
No.
It's a hit? Is it a hit?
No.
Low hit? I think it's a low hit. My enjoyment is a low hit.
Yeah, I'm not wanting to like seek it out and listen to it again.
No.
You know, and I feel a little tricked.
I feel a little tricked, too.
A little out of the loop, too.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Same.
If we were like that fancy pants guy that you listen to on YouTube, then we would have done our research and known that this song came out 2 years ago.
But it's called Idiots Discuss
that's
the Universe.
That's why we're doing this in the basement and not in the beach house.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's because we don't look that shit
we
up.
We don't know.
We just do a 2 years old song for our new release.
Whoops.
And I'm fine with it.
It's okay.
I'm surprisingly fine.
You are surprisingly fine with it. That's. I feel like I should be alarmed because it's like the calm before the storm or something.
So you wanted to like take the kids out on something?
Oh,
or do
yeah.
something? What
yeah,
are you talking?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Okay, so just talking about Radiohead made me think of this Patrice O'Neill clip that he talks about Radiohead's Creep.
Okay.
Like it's from 10 years ago. He's on the radio.
Okay.
And it just always cracks me up. And, yeah.
All right. Cool.
But, yeah, we love you, folks. Yeah, hit us up on all the socials. Hit up our Patreon. We got goodies up there. And just have yourself a spooky time. I guess it's already not Halloween.
It's
so
well past.
It's winter now.
Get ready for
the holidays. The
holidays.
Ooh,
it's going to be Thanksgiving. Like
wow.
By the time this comes out, it's going to be
Thanksgiving.
Hope you're giving
thanks out
giving
there.
Thanks.
Glad to be thankful, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Chilly November times, I guess. Who knows?
Yeah.
We're so far ahead.
We are.
So
how do you feel now, loser? Remember when you was prime?
It's the No Name Show. Patrice O'Neill ripping it up in studios at Cobb's all weekend. Make sure you go support him. Patrice, you got a lot of stuff going on, dude. Professor Whiteness and stuff. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, if we want to.
Yeah.
When?
Whenever? What do you mean when?
Oh, is this music sounds like get out of the room music.
No, we're just rocking up, man. Yeah. See you, Patrice. We'll talk about it after the show.
It just got louder.
We're going to go to Matt's house and talk about it with his wife. Come on, man. Get out of here. No, we're still doing the radio show.
Well, my show is called Patrice O'Neill's Guide to White People.
Yeah.
Hopefully Comedy Central will pick it up.
They better, man.
And all it is, basically, is I think white people have had a bad rap. And my character in the show teaches others from other countries and people in this country that this is white man's world. And I'm going to teach you things on how to get along with them.
Beautiful.
Because I've been fighting with white people my whole life. So the best way to know is know your enemy. And I'm pretty good at knowing white people. So I'm just going to go and make sure you understand the music, what passive aggression is. It's very important.
Yeah. Yeah,
you cannot meet passive aggression with aggression.
What does white people music, what does it mean?
You know what? It's like music that means things to them. Like for instance, I love quote-unquote white people music. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
hip-hop is black people music.
Yeah.
But not just rock and roll, but like, okay, here's a couple of things I didn't know. I didn't know Neil Young was such a beloved white figure in music. He's beloved. And he should be investigated, and people should know, like black folks and any other body should know how important Neil Young is as a artist to white people. And how important the song Creep is.
Oh my God. Don't you say anything bad about that.
The magic of this song Creep. It's when I heard it, I'm like, oh, it's a good song. And then I seen videos, and it's mesmerizing to white people. They start floating. I'm a creep. I'm a loop.
There we go.
Dude.
It just comes on when you talk about.
I'm telling you, seven people just crashed into the bay just now. They pulled over to cry or jump in the water.
It's like the sensitive side of white man.
But it's something about this song. It digs deep to this loserdom
that all white people have.
That white people have this innate thing where they want to feel bad. That's why they voted for Barack. It's just like, I'm a creep. I didn't own slaves, but I'm a weirdo. And I'm gonna tell you the part too that I learned is very important to white folks. It's this. I'm telling you, I've been studying. I study, man. It's not. This is. Oh, this feels good.
Yeah.
I wish I was special. You're so effing special. That's whatever that little part is. That digs into white people's soul. That part, it does something to you. Look at him, he's crying. He's standing up straight. No name. I'm telling you, this my show is not about trashing white folks. It's about understanding. I think white people don't get enough understanding. We need to understand.
That was Patrice O'Neill dissecting Radiohead's Creep.
Creep means, let me tell you something, how important that song is. At least seven big time bands have did a remake of Creep as if it's from the 1920s. It's just from 1993, and other bands with bigger names have done a cover of this song. It means something. People should know this.
Thank you. I'm learning a lot about my white self just from hanging out with Patrice O'Neill this morning. Patrice, thanks for rolling in the studio, dude.
Thank you, man.
Always fantastic to see you at Cobb's Comedy Club. People, trust me, you will worship Patrice for the rest of your life if you go see him live. You can please